Great to see everybody here today. Before I do the rest of the announcements, I am going to announce that this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. So they're handing out the baby bottles and the bulletin insert. So if you would just remember this week, especially to pray, just commit to pray every day for those who are involved with the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I don't know how many of you get calls from the Pregnancy Help Care Center when abortions are being done in Fargo, but I every time I get those calls, my heart just drops. I just think, God, and I ask God every time I get those calls to please put an end to that. And so if you would just commit to pray this week for that, that would be wonderful. And take a baby bottle home with you and read through the bulletin insert that they'll be handing out, or maybe they've handed out already. Also, we had the master copy of the Lenten devotional disappear out in the foyer. I'd been putting it in emails this week, church reminders, pleading for if anyone to check theirs. If it said master across the top, and I made the mistake of not taping it down to the table because I knew the table wouldn't disappear. But I lost it, so I don't have it. So I'm asking you, if you signed up for a scripture, please sign up again today because I have no idea what was taken. This one's taped down, and it says master copy on it, and you have this week to get it done. There's 16 places, and so I need them all signed up for today. So crunch is on. So please do that. If you signed up for one, make sure you go out and sign up again, and then if you haven't signed up, please sign up until all the blanks are filled in. We have 16 slots, 16 scriptures, so please do that today when you leave. It's on the round table in the foyer, and along with that, there is the Good News Snack sign-up sheet also out there, and the devotionals need to be into Peggy Walebski by February 3rd, so that is coming up really quick, and you can email that to her. All the instructions for the devotionals, again, take a copy with you. There's plenty of copies out there. Sign up on the master sheet. Take one with you. Put your name on which one you chose, and her email address is on there to where to send it to. Okay, today we are blessed with having baby showers for Leonie Eckstein and also for Georgia Volts. So please stay after. Everyone is invited to stay afterwards. Right after worship, we're going to have just a time of celebration. So please stay and join us. And if you do not have to have a gift, just come, please. I don't want anybody to go home because they didn't bring anything. This is a time of fellowship, and there is a ton of food, guaranteed. I think they're making egg bake, and so I'll try to cut my sermon short because I know the odor will overtake anything that I have to say. That's super interesting when the food comes out. So, not that it's more important, just it's distracting, in a good way. Okay, all February newsletters need to be in today. The items need to be in today to Sherry. So if you have something you'd like to write for the newsletter or turn in, please get that into Sherry today. Also, there's a bake sale to raise funds for the new playground equipment at the school, and that will be held Tuesday, January 26th, during the boys' basketball game in town here. This is for playground equipment that they're working on putting into the playground at the school in town here. And please contact Joni if you'd like to help out with that. Next Sunday, we are excited because we are having Youth Sunday, and I know that for those of you that have been here, for those, they are amazing. And the kids are once again, I know they've got an incredible program, a service just ready for us. So please come out for that. Also, there's a Covenant Fund Youth Fundraiser meal, and that'll be held on Sunday, February 21st. And you'll see the menu there. Also, there is the Power Team that, I don't know, is Jesse here today? I know he's going to be here today. I don't see him. Okay. In the bulletin, there is a Power Team brochure again of what is taking place. The Power Team will be in Lancaster on February 18th at 7 o'clock in the West Gym at the Lancaster School. So, Christy.
I think they're also coming to the school during the day.
Okay. Okay, awesome. That's good. So if you have questions about that, please let me know. I thought Jesse was going to come and present today. But he must have gotten called out of town. So, okay. Also, the Blue Water Annual Meeting, as you'll see there, is February 28th at 3 o'clock. Any other announcements this morning? Mary. Oh, that's right. Yes, I saw the poster uptown. Thank you. The Give Meal, the next Give Meal is in Carlstead tomorrow. And that is at what time again?
5 to 7.
5 to 7, and that's at the community center?
Yes.
Okay, in Carlstead. Okay, thank you so much for doing that, Mary. Any other announcements this morning that I might have forgotten? Okay, Sue, would you come up then? I think I got a lot of scripture for you to read today, don't I? I love it.
Okay, our scripture today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Ooh. All right. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you, the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, it has been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Okay, do we have prayer requests? Faye. Okay. What was the name of the first gal?
Caleb.
Caleb?
Kayla.
Kayla, okay. Okay. Julie?
Katie Brinstrom's dad passed away, so his prayer for the family.
Oh, dear. Darn cancer. Okay, yes.
Yeah, continue prayer for Scott Chofran and then prayer for Lawrence of Shinar. And then for a group of the whole world that are in harm's way. Lots of prayer. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for absolutely everything that you give us, and we truly are blessed beyond measures, and we know you're the ultimate healer, and we know that everything we put before you, you will answer in your way. We pray for Kayla, who is a new mom, and we just pray that her life will, she will get better, and that things will turn around for her. We pray that you give her the strength that she needs to get through this, and we just hope that she has friends and loved ones to surround her during this time when she's having difficulty. We pray for Sandy who is battling this awful disease also, and we just pray that the doctors have wisdom to help her through this. We pray that she's kept comfortable, and we also pray that loved ones will surround this family during this difficult time, because it's so difficult to watch a loved one suffer. We pray for Mark and Katie and the rest of her family and the loss of her dad, and we just pray that this is a time when they can treasure memories and that they can be together, and we also ask that loved ones here again surround them and help them through this difficult time. And we pray for Scott, who we just pray that you put people in his life to help him through his times and to help him find enjoyment in different things and to help him with various tasks that we do. And we just are thankful for friends that do this. And so we just ask that you stay with Scott and help him through each day. We pray for our troops that are in harm's way, and we just wish that all this disheaval in the world would end so they could all be home. We pray for their families at home, and here again, let there be a support system to help them. It's very difficult for the loved one that's left behind to raise a family and run a home and worry about their loved one that's in harm's way, and so we just pray that their tours over there are short and that they come home and are able to return to their lives. And we pray that when they do come home, they don't struggle with things that have happened to them over there, and that they have the ability to return to a normal life, and that that time of when they had to be there can just be forgotten. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. We love you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. If we could have the ushers come forward for the offering today, please. John. Thank you.
The opportunities have been taking place in Northern Ontario with the First Nations tribes. And so on Wednesday, it'll be what they're doing with the Northern Ontario.
Right. Thank you. I forgot all about that. Rick and Jamie Mikish will be here on Wednesday. And instead of our Bible study, we're going to have them present us with what is going on in their ministry in Ontario. So please come out to that. 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we'll probably meet in the Sunday school room. I know there's youth group going on, and they're preparing for Youth Sunday. So, but we are going to have them come. So please come to that, and to hear what is going on. We've been supporting their ministry. God has blessed us with being a partner in that. So, please come out Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and just come to the meeting room in the back, and then we'll go from there. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today, God. We praise you for all the opportunities that you bless us with, God. We pray, Father, for the blessing, God, of just being able to share in an offering together as your family. God, as we bring these before you, we ask, God, that you would just multiply them, Father, and bless them for your kingdom. And we pray that you'd guide us as we give now. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Holy ground. Could you put the music up a little more?
We are
Thank you. Beautiful. We'll continue our worship with praise song, so please stand up if you're able and join us. We will continue by singing "This Is Amazing Grace." All set.
The whole earth with holy thunder and leads us proud.
Come just as you are.
This is the air I breathe. Your This is the air I breathe.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for always being with us and helping us. We ask you to please open our hearts and our minds for the message we're to receive, and give Galen's the words to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. And one of my prayers have always been that worship will never get just routine. I thank God just, even when we sing, when we pray, when we share scripture, I know it's a personal thing that has to be done by you. But I believe God is calling us to just really dig deeper into our walk with him. I believe God is calling us out. I can't stress that enough. And worship is what you make it with God. There's nothing I can do for you. But I just pray, and I pray for that hunger for each and every one of us every day. Would you join me in prayer as we begin to look at another chapter of Ephesians? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, and as we come before you, we don't just want to gather together because of something to do, Lord. We want to gather because we have a hunger and a passion to go deeper in our walk with you. God, we are called to come together, God, to have fellowship with one another, to be family. And Lord, I just pray that you would guide us and that you would just put in us that just a deeper hunger every day. I pray that we would grow more in love with you every day, Lord. And Father, that love that is seen in us would change those around us. And Father, we just thank you, God, today as we look into chapter 3 of Ephesians, Lord, and we talk about this great mystery that was revealed to Paul. And God, I just pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. And I pray that you would unfold things in our life, God, as we bring this message to a close today. God, if there's anything hidden in our lives, God, that we need to just come before you and to seek you, God, about a closer walk with you, something that is hindering that from happening. Open our hearts and our minds. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. When I look at chapter 3, I see Paul talking about a mystery, a great mystery. And I thought about what makes a great mystery. And to me, when I think about what that is, I always think of something that maybe is unexplainable or it's hidden, something that just can't be made sense of, or maybe it hasn't even been revealed yet because it's a mystery. I recently read about an astrophysics course that is being offered, and it's offered right now to better help understand the 9 great mysteries of the universe. This course is 5-star rated. I checked it out, which is supposed to be very solid in the science world. And I'm not taking anything away from science because I think their study of it is so important, because if they seriously study it, they're going to find Christ. I guarantee it. If they put everything aside and are serious about knowing the truth, they're going to find Christ. But this course introduction goes like this. We don't know why the Big Bang happened. We don't know what most of the universe is made of. We don't know whether there's life in outer space. And we don't know how planets are formed or how black holes get so big or whatever happened to the first stars that are now gone. We simply don't know. That's the introduction to the course. They do say this course will take you through 9 of the greatest unsolved mysteries with hopes of better understanding about why they don't know so much about all of these unsolved mysteries. And I read that several times, and I thought, are you serious? Now, I don't know about you, but that would make me look somewhere else for the answers. Amen. And to be more specific, I would go right to Genesis And I would read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and nothing was made without God. Now, that sounds pretty simple and pretty narrow-minded, but that's who I am. I'm simple and narrow-minded, I guess. I do appreciate the hunger of knowing how things are made. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of that. But we need to give credit to the Creator for making everything. How He put that together. It's great to wonder and to search and to explore. But don't forget about the Creator. Okay, enough of that. That was my rant. Okay, let's say you're watching a mystery on TV. What are most mysteries on TV about? To me, every time I watch them, it seems like they're always about a murder, an unsolved murder, or there's something that is so weird that it's strange and it's happening and nobody can figure it out. And then all of a sudden, there comes along this amazing private eye, like on this next slide, if you would put that up, Emily. And this private eye had this uncanny ability or a gift to solve this mystery. And what is really amazing to me is most of them always have English accents. Did you ever notice that? But they always solve the mystery. It's like they have some special insight into something that no one else can figure out. Well, this morning, our scripture passage for today, we find Paul speaking about a mystery that was never revealed in the Old Testament, but was now revealed in Paul's day, and it was revealed to Paul, and it's recorded in the New Testament. In this portion of scripture, Paul explained his situation, and in doing so, he also explained one of the greatest truths in this letter to the Ephesians, the truth of the mystery of the church. It was like a divine secret, a sacred mystery that was now being revealed. And that's kind of what mystery, if you look in scripture, the word mystery means secret. It's a secret, God's secret. And Paul was blessed with God-given insight, and he was given the opportunity to testify to the truth of this mystery. When I thought about testify, I thought, you know, I remember a time back I was in a court case and I was supposed to testify as a character witness for someone that I'd been visiting with in counseling, and I haven't. And even as I was on the stand testifying, I could tell the judge was not really interested in what I had to say. I sensed that even as I was being sworn in, and I felt that during my testimony that I was definitely not considered an expert witness on the witness of this person's character. And I didn't want to read too much into it, but I thought that maybe my profession had something to do with it at the time. I don't know. All I know is that it didn't go the way I had hoped. I read a story the other day about a pastor who had been a character witness like myself, but he was a character witness in a custody trial, and he was testifying. He said he was grateful that the case was being held in a small county seat rather than in a big city, because this was his first experience on a witness trial, first experience testifying, and he was terrified. It's very intimidating walking in and there's a judge sitting there. Anyway, the pastor said that when he was called up and sworn in to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and I thought, what other kind of truth is there? The prosecutor's first question caught him off guard, and the prosecuting attorney began by asking the pastor just one simple question. He said, Reverend, he said, do you think a man who has been in prison is fit to raise a child? The pastor could see on the prosecutor that he was hoping for a quick no. I don't think so. But it wasn't that easy, and so the pastor replied to the question. He said, well, I guess it depends on the man. Some very famous people have been in jail and have made a world a better place, a much better place, because of their time in jail. People like John Bunyan, people like the Apostle Paul. And he no sooner got the words out, and he stopped, and he thought, I could give so many more examples, but he looked quickly up at the judge. And he could see that the judge was clearly not impressed. And then I turned and he said, and I looked at the prosecutor's eyes, and I could see that he was really wishing he had a better character witness to question. Needless to say, that was the only question he was given, and that was his only day in court. Well, in our scripture today, we have a jailbird, and his name is Paul the Apostle. He was an incredible character, and he was testifying to the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, about a mystery that had been revealed to him. And as we begin reading, I just love how Paul just lays it out there for us, right from the very beginning. He says, I've been in jail, I've been arrested, I'm a prisoner for Christ. So I'd like to just look at his very first line in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. There was a reason he was a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner because he believed in God's uniting of believing Jews and Gentiles. And that wasn't taken very well. But it was the truth that was revealed to him. Because you see, the Orthodox Jews in Paul's day thought the Gentiles were no better than dogs. And actually, they called them that, dogs. Even some of the Christian Jews struggled with their attitude toward the Gentiles because they just could not get that out of their mind, that they weren't Jews, they weren't the chosen ones. And that was a struggle for them. But in Acts 15 and Galatians 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul courageously defended the grace of God and the unity of the church. You can check that out on your own if you'd like. Acts chapter 15 and Galatians 2, verses 1 through 10. And when we get into verse 2, Paul talks about the grace that was given to him when God revealed this great mystery. This was a gift to Paul. Paul did not deserve to get this truth that he was supposed to pass on. Listen to what Paul says in verses 2 through 5. Paul says, surely you've heard about the administration of grace that was given to me, and it was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations. It has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. You see, it just wasn't revealed just to Paul. He's telling them, this is the truth, and it's been revealed to those men as well. But Paul is speaking. There's two things that Paul calls himself, he reveals about himself. The first one is he was a prisoner, as we heard in verse 1. And then in verse 7, we're going to hear him call himself a preacher. Two things that still concern the world today, prisoners and preachers. I'm kidding, sort of. I think we make them nervous sometimes. See, Paul knew from the very beginning of his Christian life that God had called him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He knew that right away. God revealed that to him. And wherever Paul ministered, he founded local churches that involved Jews and Gentiles together. They became one in Christ. So what is this mystery that Paul talks about? Well, he makes it perfectly clear in verse 6. Doesn't get any plainer than this. This mystery is that through the gospel, which is the story of God and of Jesus coming to earth to save us, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. The Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Let me just point out here that this was not popular. This was not popular with the Jews in this day. And it caused Paul to get arrested. What an amazing gift to the Gentiles, though. But when you think of it, what an amazing gift to the Jews as well. They were being brought into this new revelation. And it wasn't plan B. This was God's plan from the beginning, which we'll see. Let's continue on, verse 7 and 8. Paul says, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. It was God's gift to Paul. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I have dot, 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 because that's not the end of the sentence, but we'll come to that later. The unsearchable riches of Christ. In Ephesians 2, 11 through 22, which was we talked about last week, we found that Christ's work on the cross accomplished much more than salvation of just individual sinners. He did a lot more than that. He reconciled Jews and Gentiles to each other, and he reconciled them to God as well. It is this truth that Paul presented here. Can you imagine how exciting that must have been for the Gentiles? The truth of this mystery reveals to believing Gentiles that they have a wonderful new relationship with God, and it's through Jesus Christ. To begin with, they are fellow heirs with the believing Jews, and they share in the unsearchable riches God gave them because of his covenant with Abraham. It was being laid out right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning. I'd like us to look at Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Paul says to the Galatians, he said, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. You see, it was from the very beginning. We were part of Abraham's, the promise that was given to Abraham, that he would make a great nation. Ephesians 4:4 says, we are one body, we are one in Christ. Now, maybe or maybe not, you might be asking yourself this question this morning. So why did God keep this secret about the church hidden for so many centuries? Why didn't he reveal it sooner? Good question. Now, certainly the Old Testament clearly says that God will save the Gentiles through the Jewish, right? Through the Jews, through Israel. But nowhere are we told that Jews and Gentiles will form a new creation, the church, the body of Christ. It says salvation is coming through them, but it doesn't say that they will be together as one in the Old Testament. This is a new revelation. This was a mystery. This was a secret. It was this mystery that the Spirit revealed to Paul and other leaders in the early church. And again, let me not make light of this. This was tough for the Jews to accept. All they knew was what they were told, what was revealed to them, and now this was a new revelation. So I'd like us to read on to the end of this passage and see what's been handed down to us as we carry on. And I'm going to go back to chapter 8 and read through 13. Listen closely to our involvement in this. Paul again says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, Greek, doesn't matter. I am the least of all of them. And yet this grace was given me. I did not deserve it. I was given this grace to preach to the Gentiles about the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. He wants to make it clear to us as well, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, that's you and me, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's amazing. According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was his eternal purpose. It was always there, but it was accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, Paul says, therefore, do not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, because my sufferings for you are for your glory. It's an amazing truth about this great mystery, the sacred secret. Now all believers are called to be faithful to this amazing truth. This was given to Paul, and it was given to the Gentiles, and it's handed down to us. And it says, through the workings of his church, his people, the truth of this mystery is revealed to those in spiritual realms, in heavenly realms. This secret was even kept hidden from the angels and is now being revealed today and has for generations since Christ came. And let me add, verse 11 says, this was part of God's eternal purpose. It's always been there. This was his purpose. It was not an afterthought. It was God's plan from the very beginning. What a blessing. The early church thought that the gospel belonged to the Jews because it had come through them and to them first. If I was in their shoes, I would think the same thing. It wasn't until Peter, and I let me add by divine direction, went to the Gentiles, and this is in Acts chapter 10, which we're going to get at eventually in our Bible study on Wednesday night. But Peter told them that they need not become a Jew before they become a Christian. You don't have to be a Jew to become a Christian. You can go right to the Father through Jesus Christ. God was revealing to them that they can come directly to God through Christ. This is the message of the gospel that we're all to carry to the world. That's our job. That's where we are brought into the picture. Jesus is the only way to God. We are the body, and there is only one body, and we are the church. And I'm not talking about a building, and I know you know that. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about life in Christ. Last week I'd mentioned of us being one temple, the church and the body of Christ. And as I bring this to a close, I pray that you'll listen really closely, because I believe God is calling us out this morning again. We heard in Genesis last week of God walking with his people in Genesis 5 and 6. In Exodus 25:8, we heard that God dwelt with his people. And in Exodus 40, 34 through 38, we heard how God dwelt in the tabernacle until Israel sinned and God caused the glory to depart, his glory to depart. Then God dwelt in a temple, it says in 1 Kings 8:11. But again Israel sinned, and the glory of God departed again in Ezekiel 10:18 and 19. God's next dwelling was in the body of Christ. As we read in John 1:14, his word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now today, for you and me, through God's Spirit, God dwells in those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. What an amazing gift. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. God actually dwells inside you. I know that many of you know this, but I don't want to ever take for granted that everyone does. If you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You want to talk about mysteries? Try to understand that. Try to look in the mirror and understand that God is living inside you. I don't know about you, but I think many of us struggle with poor self-image. Life has a way of doing that. And I'm there too, all the time. And I can look in the mirror and I think, how could God dwell in me? How can I be a temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you hearing me this morning? John and Faye sang a song this morning that says it's on holy ground. And I put these words on a slide, and I want us to just go through them. And I want you to think real closely about what these words say. As I walked through the door, I sensed his presence. And I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple, Jehovah, God Almighty. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. For we're standing in his presence on holy ground. In his presence there is joy beyond measure, and at his feet peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know he has the answer. Reach out and claim it, child, for you are standing on holy ground. Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence on holy ground. Did you know that everywhere you stand is holy ground? You ever thought of that? Where God's temple was, where he dwelt, was holy ground. He now lives in you. I don't know about you, but that almost scares me. In God's word, everywhere that God's presence was considered holy ground. So let me ask you this morning. Will realizing this and owning this, making it real, because it is real, it's the truth and the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Accepting this truth that everywhere you go is holy ground, because God's presence is there. Scripture says that he never leaves us and never will forsake us. He doesn't give us his spirit and take it away. Once it's there, and it is sealed for the day of redemption. Will that realization change the way you live your life this morning? Will it change the way you speak to others? Will it change the way that you work at your job? Will it change the way that you do business? Do you want to know what my hope for me and for you is? And it's not a mystery, because I'm going to tell you. My hope is that in realizing this and owning it, it will make our whole life worship. And that you would be that living sacrifice that Romans 12 talks about. And I know none of this can happen apart from Christ. That is God's work in your life. The first line in that song speaks of walking through the door and sensing his presence and knowing that God's love abounds here. That really hit me. That line really convicted me. And that's why I say this old cliche, because this seems to me where rubber hits the road for me. When people come to this place of worship on Sunday morning, when they come here, do they feel that love abounds here? How can we make that happen? How can God make that happen through us? Because again, we need God's help to do that. We can't do it. It goes back to surrender. What about when people meet you at your home? Do they feel that love abounds there? How about when they see you on the street? Is love abounding? Is that what they sense? Think about the places that you go, and I do mean think about all the places that you go. Every place that you will go, every place that you enter, day or night, do the people that are around you, do they sense the presence of God just by being in your presence? And let me say, though, this, that those who are not in Christ, those who are not in Christ are not going to know the fullness of what that means. But let me say that they should see a difference. I despise the term politically correct because it takes away a witness of what it means to live for Christ and to be different and to be the peculiar church that we are called to be. I don't know about you, but I'm more happy being weird than I am blending into society. But how do we do that with love abounding? That's where we need God's help. We need God's help to do that. We need God's help for our next breath. So ask yourself this: do you live all of your life as a child of the King? Do you live all of your life letting your light shine to everyone around you so that they can see maybe just a little bit better in a dark world? Because their world is dark, I guarantee it. When we are in Christ, we are standing on holy ground. Think about that. There's the old saying that wherever you go, there you are. It's very real. And it's very true. Talk about an incredible mystery of how God does that. I praise God for that. And I'm so thankful for His amazing grace. And that's what I'd like to close with today. So please stand and join us as we sing hymn number 227. You may not need your Bibles or your hymnals, but let's sing Amazing Grace together and praise God for His mercy. And please stay for the showers, for the time of fellowship, for the food, and please sign up for the Lenten devotional, because I don't want to write 16. Oh, I know I won't. I saw there's one down there, so I won't have to write all of them. But please sign up until they're all filled. Amazing Grace, key of G. Father, we thank you, God, for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, all that you provide, Lord. We pray that you'd encourage us today to live lives where love would abound. God, everywhere we go, everywhere we be, just guide us and encourage us, we pray. In your name, amen.